Let us turn again to the passage of God's word that we read together in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 50 and at verse 11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Isaiah's place in history is during the final declension of the northern kingdom of Israel. The southern kingdom of Judah was in a declining state spiritually, religiously, and morally also. But things hadn't gone as far as in the north. But you see, he had to prophesy in these circumstances. He had to make known what was the mind of God for the future. And in what we have here, in the text and the verse before the text in particular just now, we have encouragement for the people of God, encouragement for those who would listen to the word of God, and at the same time, warning, severe warning for those who would seek a path that was not the true path, who would seek a path towards heaven, which wasn't what the Savior called the straight gate and the narrow gate and the narrow way. You see, on the one hand, there were those who feared God, those who loved his ways, those who wished to follow in the paths of righteousness. And accordingly, they would obey the voice of his servant, God's servant. Say, Isaiah just now. What was he saying? What encouragement was he giving to walk in a right way, the way that God had laid out for people to walk in, and in particular, his own people to walk in. And by that I mean his own people in an outward sense. They were to trust in the name of God, of the Lord. They were to trust in him as he had revealed himself. They were to stay, they were to rest themselves upon their God. Whether they were actually converted at that point or not, this was what they had been told, and this is what we had been told, to trust in God in all our circumstances. To repent and believe the gospel. There's another way of putting it. To turn from our sins and believe the truth. To turn from our sins and to enter into the narrow way that leads to eternal life. But you see, many of these, though they professed in an outward way, in a superficial way in many cases, though they profess to be the people of God, to be followers of the true God, still, they were kindling a fire of their own. You see, there were those who walked in darkness, who had no light. Their circumstances were difficult. They were not trusting as fully as they might have been in some cases on Christ as he was revealed even in the Old Testament, or you might say they were not trusting in God. They were not making the use they might have done of what had been revealed to them and of the ceremonies, the sacrifices in particular, that showed them the way of salvation. How were they seeking to go through this world? They were trying to make lights of their own. They were kindling a fire. They were surrounding themselves with sparks. And sparks won't get you very far. If you were thinking of using them to light up your way through the darkness, well, it said to them, if this is what you are choosing, then I will leave you to it. God saying, if this is the way you choose, I will in judgment leave you to that way. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled, but there's consequences. And that is, this shall ye have of mine hand. This is what I will do. By way of judgment, ye shall lie down in Sodom. Yes. That's it. And that's what the Lord is saying to those, even in a gospel day, who are trying to work out their own way of salvation, who are ignoring what God has revealed, who are refusing to walk in it. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. There's the warning. And that's what was fulfilled in the case of Israel and Judah afterwards. What about us? It's not that I am forecasting some tremendous judgment. That's what it might come to with the way that people in our time are departing from God. When the legislators are trying to take the national departures from God a bit further, a significant bit further, is the Lord saying to us at this time, this shall ye have of my hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. But even apart from these things, it's this. The way people are departing from God, the way even outward religion has been given up. People think they can go on without God, without religion, without the Bible, without the Sabbath. They can go on whatever way they please. They can adopt a morality of their own. They can throw behind them the true morality of Scripture. What? It's going back a little, but what previous generations were doing, at least outwardly, keeping to some kind of scriptural morality, at least in public. That's been thrown away. People are trying to walk in the light of their sparks. And it doesn't give them much light. And so, let us try to make three points just now on the basis of this verse. The first is this, the true way through life. How will we get through life safely? How does God in his word tell us to go through life? Second, what is man's light? What is so graphically described as kindling a fire, compassing themselves about with sparks, walking in the light of that fire, and in the spirits that they have kindled. What about that way? We'll try to say a few things about that. And then in the third place, what are the consequences? What are the consequences of sinners going on in their own way? What are the consequences for a nation trying to go on in their own way? What are the consequences for an individual? And that's really what I want to reach, the consequences for an individual. I mentioned nations, and our own nation in particular. But what I want more to get to is the consequences for the individual. This shall ye have from my hand, the Lord is saying, that they would lie down in Sodom. Well, three things. The true way through life. Then, man's light on his way through life. The light that human beings seek to use. And third, the consequences of that ungodly way. First then, the true way through life. We need a light, obviously. If you're going out at night in a country place, you need to take a light with you. A light that will last. You don't want your torch battery going, running out. No. We need a light that will last as we make our way through this dark world. And remember the words of the Saviour, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. We need Christ. Now whatever way things are described, whatever parallels or pictures are used, this should come to us. I am the light of the world. We need Christ. Have you come to that realization yourself? If you feel that all is darkness around you, spiritually speaking, you are where you are, and you must get to heaven. But have you a light to guide you through the darkness of this world? There is a light. But have you found it? Have you looked for it? Where will you look that you might get a light to guide you on that solemn journey from here to eternity? Where will you look? Well, in the Bible. That's God's revelation to sinners. Yes. And he has revealed Christ. And Christ has revealed himself in the words that I've been quoting. I am the light of the world. Let us pray then. Let us pray in ourselves that we would find the light. Somebody going out needing a light. You might have to search and search. You can't remember where he left the torch. Where is it? Did someone shift it? Well, the thing is this. Where will we find Christ? Christ is where he is. Christ is to be found in the way that he has revealed himself. He has revealed himself in the Word, the Bible. Will we go to the Bible? Will we open it? Will we search through it? Will we be asking, Lord, show me thyself. Show me Christ. Show me him there. And if we might think of Isaiah's time, there's a sinner somewhere, in Hebron perhaps, or in some village on the shores of the Lake of Galilee, or in Jerusalem itself, it doesn't matter. Where will the sinner go, that he might get light. It's the Old Testament age, remember. The light wasn't shining as brightly, but the light was shining. Where should he go? Where should this sinner go? Well, he should go to the Word of God, what had been revealed. Could he take up a psalm of David, perhaps, that he might hear him sung? Yes. Could he get light on his way to heaven? And then there were the sacrifices. Let him go to the temple. Let him go to the temple, and there shall a lamb brought in. And the lamb is going to be sacrificed. Why is the lamb going to be killed? What's gone wrong? Why does the lamb need to be killed? Oh, the lamb is going to be a substitute. Or perhaps we should say, the lamb is a picture of the greater substitute, the true substitute, the real substitute that is to come in the fullness of time, the one that John the Baptist called the Lamb of God, who is to take away the sin of the world. And as these pictures of Christ were being lit up by the Holy Spirit in the minds of sinners. They were getting light, you see. These things were given so that they might get light. Yes. And this person concerned about his soul, he might have light poured into his soul as he saw the animal being killed. Oh, it might be a lamb that he had brought because of his own sins. And the lamb was killed just as he deserved to die. But a substitute is provided. And that lamb is to be offered on the altar. That lamb, so to speak, is to suffer. Though by the time it is on the altar, it is already dead. But you see, it's pointing to Christ and salvation through him. There's light, you see. There's light for sinners in what God has revealed. Well, let us come on to the New Testament period, our own time. And we're looking for light, are we? We have sinned. And we need to be shown how we can be delivered from sin. How we can get light in this dark world, this world of sin and sorrow. There's light. And we will go to the Bible, will we? We will come to the preaching of the Word so that we might get light. In the hope, are we asking for that? In the hope that the Lord would open our eyes. In the light of what is said, in the light of what is read, in the light of what we might read ourselves. Yes. We need light. And there's light available, shining through the Word of God. And it is there if the Lord would bless it, and if we would seek it. Light in the preaching of the Word. About the substitute. A better substitute by far than the lambs that were offered in the Old Testament. This substitute is the Lamb of God. The Lamb that God has provided. The one whom he sent into the world to save sinners. Yes. The Father sent the Son, his Son, taking human nature, that he might be a substitute for sinners. There's light on the true way in the Word of God. Yes. He that followeth me shall not abide in darkness, the Savior said. What did he say to Matthew? Follow me. What is he saying to us? What is Christ saying? Follow me. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not abide in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, let us go to Christ. Let us go where we might see Christ. Where will we see Christ? I've tried to answer the question already, but I ask it again. Let us remind ourselves. We'll see Christ in the Word, and what is written in the Scripture. What's the purpose of the Bible? Well, many a purpose, no doubt, but there's this. It's a light, so that those walking in darkness might have life, might get good for their souls, might have their sins forgiven. Yes, let us go to Christ that we might obtain mercy. Oh, cry out in your soul to the Lord Jesus, that you might obtain mercy. That light might be shined into your soul. That you might get good for your soul. You see, are we asking? Are we coming to the throne of grace with confidence in the Word of God so that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need? Is it not a time of need if we are still walking in darkness? A time of need indeed, yes, and there's one who can supply our needs. On what basis? According to his riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. Riches that has been shined out to sinners from the Word of God, and that's to be brought up in the preaching of the gospel. And let us never forget the way preaching is spoken of. However poor the preacher, you see, the Lord can take a statement or two, a few statements from the Word of God and apply them to the soul of a sinner. And let us be coming to hear the gospel with that in mind. Oh, Lord, that thou wouldst use the Word of God to give light to me and my soul. Now, what have I been speaking about? The text speaks about those making a light for themselves. I've been trying to speak about the light that God has provided. Yes. And if there shall light to be had, let us take it without money and without price. We're not to come and say that would be a sparks of our own devising. We're not to come and say, I've been doing this, I've been doing that. They might be right in themselves, but we're not to be trusting on them. We're to be looking away from ourselves and everything that we can do. We're to be looking to the Lord. We're to be looking to Christ, who came that he might be a light in a dark world, that he might light up the way to heaven. And may he come to us and take us by the hand and shine the light into our souls so that we might see the way to heaven. Yes. He is able to do that. But let us go on in the second place to say something about man's light. People thinking that they can make their own way to heaven, that the sparks that they might kindle themselves, or the little candles that they might light up themselves and may be blown out by the smallest puff of wind. Yes. Pharaoh was very confident about his own light. He was hearing about God. He was hearing about what he could do. He was seeing what he could do in the plagues, the miraculous plagues that came upon him and his people. But still, you see, there was that arrogant rejection of what the Lord had to say through his servant Moses. He said, "Who is the Lord that I might obey his voice?" He had plenty sparks, he thought, but they weren't showing him the way to heaven. He was unbelieving. Ah, may the Lord be teaching us the way to heaven. May he be lighting up the way for us. May he be showing us how feeble, how useless our own sparks are. You see, there were plenty following false religions, no doubt various differences between them. And they had their idols, yes, but there's a light shining in these things, and it is this, their idols, they have mouths, but they speak not, and the various senses are listed. You see, what's the use of a God that can't speak into our souls? They might have mouths or ears or whatever it may be, but if they cannot speak into our souls, if they cannot hear what we are saying, they're no better than sparks which we have kindled, and that's what it is. False religion and all the perversions of the true religion. They're Satan's devices to lead people astray. And what Satan is trying to persuade everyone to do in our time is to do without religion. He's encouraging people to think that their own ideas will get them through this world and that then there's nothing. It's all over. The Lord has said otherwise, and in particular, the Lord has said, "Ye shall lie down in sorrow." Yes, but we'll come to that, I trust. And there was the warning in the New Testament age. Paul, I think it's when he was speaking to the elders of Ephesus, he was saying that men would arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Yes. Drawing away disciples, drawing away followers. And a match of perverting of the truth that has been in the New Testament age, even till today. How many perversions of Christianity there are. And what we need is that we would have this light shining through the Word of God. This light, yes, that's what we should be looking for. That's what we should be thankful for, that we've got this light, a light shining through the Word of God. Yes, not our own light. We might as well extinguish our own light. It's not going to get us anywhere. And what we may be most in danger of is our own self-righteousness, resting on that, resting on what we might do. We'll try hard. We'll read the Bible more often. We'll pray more often. And so on. Try harder to keep the commandments. Try a bit harder to seek the Lord. But depending on ourselves. Oh, what we need is the whole work of salvation done for us and done in us by another. You see what Paul was saying to the Romans about those who were ignorant of God's righteousness and were going about to establish their own righteousness. They had not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. That's what we need. And if the Lord would bring us to realize that our own righteousness is insufficient, that would be a big help to us. And that we would look to Christ, who has provided a righteousness on behalf of sinners, a righteousness which is altogether sufficient, a righteousness which is altogether suitable. We had it about Christ in Hebrews that such an high priest became us. Such an high priest was suitable for us. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. That's the high priest we need. And the work of Christ in giving himself a ransom for many. That's what we need. And that's what leads to a righteousness which becomes us. A righteousness which is suitable for us. A righteousness that is fit for a sinner. That's the thing. Where will we find a righteousness? We're hoping to go to heaven, are we? We're expecting to pass into eternity. But there's a judge whom we must meet. There's one whom we must meet at the gate of heaven, if we can even get there. But suppose we do. Will he not scrutinize us? Will he not look at what we are wearing, so to speak? What our soul is wearing? What do I mean? Well, put it this way. Have we got a righteousness that God will accept? You see, it's spoken of by way of a picture. The righteousness of Christ, the white garment, pure linen, undefiled. Have we got that? And oh, the eye of the Most High God, looking on the sinner passing into eternity. Will that sinner try to mutter something about having done very well? Always having tried to keep the commandments and went to church and so on. But is there the righteousness of Christ? Has the righteousness of Christ been imputed to the sinner? Has the sinner sought and received the pure garment of Christ's righteousness? Have we seen that Christ's garment, that Christ's righteousness, the righteousness that Christ has worked out, have we seen that that is suitable, perfectly suitable? Perfectly suitable for me. And we can say that there will be no real challenge between death and heaven to the sinner who appears in eternity with the righteousness of Christ. It's instantly recognizable. God recognizes the righteousness worked out by his own Son that has been put on this sinner who has believed in Jesus. What a blessing. What a great work is done. What a great provision, what a suitable provision that is for sinners. Yes, what a suitable provision. And we ask, are we willing to put away the sparks? What we have tried to depend on perhaps for years and years and years. Oh, put them away. Ask God to put them away for you. And, you see, to clothe you with the fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. May we be made holy. May we be blessed with the full salvation that Christ has worked out. A salvation that is suited, perfectly suited to sinners like as you see, it is emphasized by the deeds of the law, that shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. There is no way of being accepted by God by what we do ourselves. However hard people might be trying to keep to the law of God, that will not save them. They need the righteousness of another. Not my righteousness, you see. That's what we have to learn. The righteousness of another. The righteousness of a perfect other. The righteousness of one who is able to work out a perfectly suitable righteousness. Yes. Oh, let us go. Ask to be drawn powerfully. To be drawn to Christ. And that Christ would clothe us with his own righteousness. And then all will be well. We'll get a light in the dark valley of death. Will that not be good? And a light through this world. A light that God gives to needy sinners. When he works in their souls by his Holy Spirit. And he will never take the Spirit from them. Yes. Let us not stop where Felix came. He trembled. And all he wanted to do was to shake off the convictions that were laying hold of his conscience. He managed that, perhaps pretty easily. And then he said, that he was saying, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Right enough, he called for Paul. But it wasn't to listen to him, convincing his conscience. That's not what he wanted. He wanted a bribe. His heart was in the world. But he needed Christ. You and I need Christ. May we cry out for in our souls, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me for the sake of Christ. Give me the light that will light up the way into eternity, the way through this world. Give me light. Give me grace. Give me a righteousness. Work in my heart. Make me a new creature. You see, you can go on and on. What we need is Christ. Let us put that, as it were, at the top of any list that we might make. Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, who rose from the dead, who has ascended into heaven. Yes, but one thing more before we pass on, and that is another warning. There's a danger of saying, there is no hope, for I have had strangers and after them I will go. Do not think that your case is hopeless. While you are still here on mercy's ground, remember the power that Christ has, his readiness to receive sinners on the basis of what he has done. Do not say there is no hope. Do not turn back. However far you may or may not have come, do not turn back. Do not listen to Satan encouraging you to give everything up. No. Go to Christ. It's Christ you need. Not in the first instance your own works, though you are to turn from sin. Yes. There is a great and glorious Savior. And he's setting himself before sinners. He is setting himself in what he has done before you this evening. He's calling you to come. He's calling you to believe on him. But there's the consequence of going on in unbelief. The consequence of relying on your own sparks. The feeble light that you can work up for yourself to go through the darkness of this world and to go through the darkness that you must pass through passing out of this world. Yes. It's this. Go on. This is the way it's phrased. Go on with your sparks. Go on with the light of your fire. This shall ye have of my hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. See, it's irony. It's putting it in this way so that sinners would realize that what is being said is, if you will go on in the light of your fire, this will be the consequence. Just as we had this morning in Ecclesiastes about the young man. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart. But, as if there was an if at the beginning, if you do that, if you go on in the ways of sin, this is what you will have. You shall lie down in sorrow. But no, that's the Ecclesiastes way of putting it. But know that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Yes, God will bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's what you have at the end of Ecclesiastes. Warning about judgment. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or evil, and Christ will be the judge. He knows perfectly how we have lived. He has everything in his perfect memory, and it will be brought out. All the evidence will be there. All the evidence of how every individual will have lived. And all the evidence of those who threw away their sparks, threw away their own feeble lights, and who by God's grace made use of the light of the world. They came to Christ, they trusted in him, they had his light in one degree or another as they went on through the world. Yes. And there's them doing good by God's grace, by God's power, through the Holy Spirit. When they look to Christ, they look to Christ and they were lightened. And their faces were not ashamed. What a blessing. What a blessing for a sinner struggling through the feelings he has of the seriousness of his sin, going on in the darkness, and a light has shined into his heart, and he sees Jesus, spiritually speaking, through what is said in the Word of God. By God's grace, he sees Jesus. But what I'm really to point to here is the contrast. When the sinner goes on in unbelief, when the sinner goes on departing from Christ, when the sinner refuses to make use of the opportunities to find Christ, yes, this shall they have of my hand, they shall lie down in sorrow, a sorrow, a darkness that will go on throughout the endless ages of eternity. And we have this short opportunity here that we might flee from the wrath to come. Think of this about a lost eternity. It's still that God's anger is to come. Those who will go down to a lost eternity, they can have no hope of anything better. It's always the wrath to come. It's always this, there's more wrath to come, endlessly. But you see, we have the gospel set before us. We have the warnings set before us. Yes, we have this expression, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. I've been referring a number of times to the narrow way, and to an unconverted person, the broad way must seem more attractive. They can do what they want. One person can do one thing, another person can do another thing. And it's all away from Christ. And going further away from Christ. And going further away from the authority of God's law. But you see, for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Unless you will lay hold of Christ, and Christ is still speaking graciously, kindly, telling us to come. Come unto me, he is saying, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. If you look at John 6 and verse 35, you will see, you should see, that coming to Christ and believing in Christ are the same thing. He is telling us to trust in him, to believe in him, because he is a suitable Savior. He is a perfect Savior. And should we not, however far, however dark, however far we feel from God and Christ, and however dark we might feel a way to be, let us be saying, draw me, that I might run after thee. Draw me. I am so weak, I cannot come. I cannot begin to come. I am in the darkness, I cannot see which way to come. Yes. And ask the Lord to put his hand in yours, and to draw you, to bring you to himself. He has a way of bringing sinners to himself when they cannot come, when they have no power to come, when the darkness seems so dense. Yes. Oh, cry out of the darkness. Cry out of your own inability to the one who is able to save to the uttermost. Yes. He is calling on us to come. Or you come back to him, as it were, and say, wilt thou not give me the power to come? Wilt thou not give me the grace to come? Open my eyes, that I might see wondrous things out of the law, that I might see wondrous things out of thy word, that I might see Jesus, who is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Lord have mercy, thou knowest our weakness, thou knowest our darkness. Come and take us by the hand. Make us willing to come to thee. Make us able to come to thee. Supply all our needs. Ah, come, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Oh, speak to the hearts of every one of us here. Do not leave us in the darkness, but do thou light up our understanding, do thou light up our souls, and bring us out of the darkness. Bring us into thy marvelous light. Show thy marvelous grace, and grant that we would walk in the way of understanding, that we would go in the broad, in the narrow way that leads to everlasting life. Do not leave us to ourselves. Save us from carelessness. Grant light in our souls. And may we come to thy word in the hope of getting light, and give us that light. Oh, be with us. Remember us all. Remember others. Grant to bring many under thy word here, and grant much light to shine into people's souls. Pardon us and bless us and keep us. Draw us by thy grace, for Jesus' sake. Amen.